sound like trouble unless I've caused it. Watch out, world, because I'm shining brighter than ever. Life is a journey, not a competition. Diamonds aren't a girl's best friend. Champagne is. I'm no fool, but I don't mind acting like one.
Fake news I can handle. Fake people not in this life.
Keep your standards high and your stilettos higher.
Hello, friends. It's Nick and Malk, and we're back for the Unreal Housewives podcast with Nick and Malk. I'm Steve Malk.
I'm Nick McLaughlin.
And goodness gracious, we've probably caught people on the hop, honestly, Nick McLaughlin, because we've started with no intro music.
I know. We had it. Well, there were issues.
There were issues, and we're hoping, dear Facebook, that you're not a part of them anymore. But I can't even tell if we're live on Facebook, so let's just assume.
Let us know. If anyone's there, let us know.
Yeah, we'd love to know that they are. Nick McLaughlin, there's so many ways that people can keep in touch with us. What are some of the ways that they can do that?
Look, they can go to our Instagram page, which is the Unreal Housewives podcast.
Yes, correct.
Oh, thanks, Sandra. Thank you. We're live. Thanks, Emma.
We're live on Facebook.
Good to see you. Yeah, we're there. Yep.
Excellent.
So, yes, that's the Instagram.
And you'll be handling all of the chat comments tonight, won't you, Nick? You're on top of all of that.
That's my plan.
And where's the Facebook page that they can join us from?
The Unreal Housewives podcast.
Look at us.
Isn't it?
So profesh.
Yeah.
It's exactly, that's what the screen says. I mean, that's last time I checked. So that's good. We're glad that you're with us. And also, Nick, if we're on Twitter, which we are live currently on my Twitter because we forgot to set yours up again this week.
I know, I didn't go. We had stuff on. It was busy
stuff
week.
Happening. We've so much to tell you, friends. It's great.
Oh, my God.
So Twitter, you can find us at Steve Malk or at Nick McLaughlin. That is the important things. If you are listening to us on the podcast, friends, we would love it, absolutely love it, if you would jump on and give us 5 stars and leave a glowing review. We haven't had any this season, and we absolutely acknowledge that
look,
maybe you'd forgotten about us. We're back.
Look, it's been a while. It's been three years.
Nick, we've been focusing on doing the live thing. So we're live on Facebook right now, and we're also live on Instagram. Hello to everyone on Instagram. Lean in. Nick, we've got to say hello to our Instagram friends. Hello, everyone. It's like Nick and I have got one head now, if I just lean in on that. So
ew, that's no weird. One needs that.
But anyway, we're live on Facebook. We're live on Instagram. For those that are on Instagram and want to see the proper dimensioned version, I will upload the full show to Instagram TV later in the night. We're so glad you can join us. But guess what we did this week, Nick McLaughlin?
Oh, my God. I even put makeup on.
As opposed
to tonight where I have done none of that. I mean, fancy top on top and active wear down below. So,
well, the important thing is that it will be completely seamless, the transition between us and the pre-recorded video. Now, who did we speak with, Nick McLaughlin?
Oh, we spoke with the divine Cherry.
Say it.
I can't even deep debt. Dipetrian Trentone. No, I got nothing.
Let's just save it for the actual full interview where you see me attempt to say her last name. Because right now, if I was going to say it, it would be Dipia Domenico, and that's wrong. But I'm smart enough to know that. Big shout out to Dipper. We know that you watch. Friends, just to give you a little bit of sizzle of how good our chat with Cherry was, you need to check this out. Cherry, does your current vision board include maybe helping your mother-in-law have an accident?
Have a what?
An accident.
An accident?
Just maybe not to, you know, like, I'm just, well, when we meet
she's
you.
She's actually coming over in about half an hour, so no.
Is she wearing the fox? Mother-in-law.
What do you want me to do to her?
Oh, look, anything that you need to get her out of your life, honestly. That woman
Steve.
Is in charge of everything. That's how good it was. I suggested that she top her mother-in-law.
Yeah, look, you were on fire.
Look, I was entertaining myself and that was the whole good fun thing. But we did get to ask, I asked stupid questions. The very learned Nick did ask some very much better questions. That's exactly how our relationship functions, friends. Like we've talked about before, I'm the brains, Nick is the beauty, and she brings all of the great Housewives questions and content. Before we kick off and dive into the show.
I even did research. Look at that.
I mean, that's was my research Holmes.
For that interview.
That's CSI level stuff, I have to say.
I know.
We just want to quickly say that there's lots of people watching on Facebook and commenting this week. Thank you, Facebook, for not taking us down so early. Sandra Jackins says we're live. That's helpful, isn't it?
Danny is coming to us from IG.
Danny is watching us from Insta, but get this out. Here's a whole lot of stuff we're about to run across the bottom of the screen.
I love this.
He wants to start by reflecting on the fact that Janet, God bless Rochi, who purchased a $43 million home in Toorak, bought a shitty $45 bottle of Sierra tequila to a housewarming. Now, it probably suggests, and we will get to the conversation about Angelie's pool party a bit later, but well brought up, Danny, because yes, it's probably a case of just how much Janet doesn't like Angelie.
That's a good point, or you know, just how much Janet contributed to the $43 million purchase.
Yes, not very much. Well, as we learn later on, maybe some special kind of favors in place.
Favors, yeah, there was some. We'll get anyway, to that.
We don't need to lean on Janet's favors. Previously, Nick, on The Real Housewives of Melbourne, Ben and some Ben and some doctors knocked Jackie up.
And for which we're eternally grateful.
And we still don't have names. We still haven't confirmed that they're boys. Ben. We know that they're boys.
I'm so convinced they're boys.
They're boys, right? Vladimir and Rasputin, we're in business.
She did mention some names. We'll get to that.
Yes, oh God, she mentions names.
Yeah, she mentions
Hashtag Textgate still looms large. They're still talking about it two episodes later.
Look, I'm bored with Textgate now. There's too much else to
there's too much else going. And Gamble and Angelie are up for a fight and somebody's lying. But you know how we need to start this show, Nick? We need to start with Gamble and Angelie, who are meeting up to clear the air and quite possibly stab each other in the back.
Let's do that.
I don't know which Gamble I'm going to be seeing, says Angelie, and my thoughts were maybe one of the 12.
Do you think there's that many?
Look, all I know is this. If Gamble says there's 12, there's at least 12.
Can I share with you, a friend of mine texted me tonight and was reminiscing about how Gamble is her favourite, and she said her favourite line of Gamble's of all time was in season 4. She was very specific. When Lydia started the cooking classes, Jackie said, "It's really good to see you with a job." Lydia took offence and said, "I've always had a job." And Gamby didn't miss a beat and said, "Blowjobs don't count." That was a great line.
Oh. She totally smashed her. Now, at the start of this little innocent gathering between Gamble and Angelie, I can't hold back, Nick. I saw that Danny dropped this great comment into the feed. He said, "Label up, remember," and he was talking about the bottles and the heavy champagne, right? Kylie reminds the butler, the waiter, how to serve the champagne. Always label up. It's disrespectful. I'm actually wondering, Nick, Kylie had gone to visit Jackie in the hospital. I wonder if she would look over to the nurses and look at the little, you know, the name tags around the baby's legs and look at them. And when they present the baby to the mother, label up. Right? I can't get past it. So thanks, Danny. You just made me think of it. It wasn't very funny, but I enjoyed it nonetheless. Gamble and Angelie are there. They're hanging out. Now, Gamble is irritated having to meet with Kylie. She's irritated with Angelie because she's only just started to get to know Kylie. And it's easy to poke – this is great from Gamble. It's easy to poke fun at someone who calls themselves the great dame, she can't – she's not down with the champagne.
I loved that. Gamble calls her the great dame. Lol.
This Gamble, podcast – how long ago was this podcast? Supposedly happened where Angelie and Gamble decided –
Someone was going to be ganging up. Can we just, first of all, are we in grade 6? We don't gang up on people when we're proper grown adults. Gamble is basically denying all knowledge. My heart wants to be on Gamble's side because Yeah, she's an OG, and Anjali has yet to prove herself.
Cherry did infer that maybe Gamble isn't in her faves, though, hasn't she?
Well, she did infer that. And it does remind me of Gamble saying when she went on, have you been paying attention, that she gets the villain edit. So this may well be what she's referring to. But then they move on.
They do. And just as we move on, I think the question for the for tonight, and we'd love to hear from people who are watching live on Facebook or on Instagram, jump over to the Unreal Housewives podcast Facebook page so that we can include your comments on screen. Like Emma, who's offered that treatment of the waiter was on par with Ramona's treatment of the staff on The Real Housewives of New York.
That's great.
But I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, she's right, because Ramona refers to the help.
Oh, God.
Which, yeah.
I think that tonight's question for everybody that's playing along live with us, which is your favourite master interview look so far? Who looks the best outfit-wise? Because I noted during this particular interchange that we've talked about for too long already that the master interview outfits are the ones that they predominantly used in episode 2. So it used to be really clean-cut master interviews where they would talk about what happened in the episode, and there was one set of outfits. Now we're starting to see the lines are blurring and different outfits and different times.
Well, I did read, and I feel like it was one of the questions that I asked Cherry, is that, maybe not, but it was one that I prepared, that in the US there's generally three master interview looks. So each housewife gets three looks. And I'm wondering if that's the same here. Did I ask her that? I can't remember.
Yeah, look, it's ringing bells.
Oh, yeah.
And
So, yeah, but some, and some master interview looks are terrible, and I don't understand them.
There were some new ones that popped up tonight, and I was pretty impressed with them.
Oh, look at you noticing fashion.
I don't understand it. I shouldn't have an opinion on it, but I appreciate what I get to see. Particularly, we'll talk about Kylie's outfit as she turned up at Cairns later on. That's not a master interview outfit, but nonetheless. Anjali did say, I fight with people for a living, so unless you're paying me, I don't want to fight with you. I'm ready to give the woman 50 cents.
Look, it's not a bad line, and I have not fully formed my opinion on Anjali, but she could maybe stop with the boasty.
Yes.
I don't know.
Well, there's a lot that happens from that point on too, Nick, because Gamble leans into her Vagine Machine exhibition that she wants to run for her dad. And then she gets still really emotional, which is a beautiful kind of thing, you know, that she's that in touch with her father when he passed. And I thought, I noted this, that the emotion from Gamble is really precious, and it is an important moment for both of them as far as that they share that together. I thought that was really nice. This is beautiful timing from Gamble. It seems to cut to her master interview after a quick sort of gear change into talking about singing. And it's like, pause. Oh, for fuck's sake, Anjali sings now.
God, the singing. The singing.
And she sang in school. Like, that was literally 130 years ago for Anjali. Cut her in half and count the rings. It was long ago.
I sang in school too, but I don't call myself a singer now. No. She did Handel's Messiah at the Albert Hall for the Queen. Look, is that something? Yes.
Did the Queen turn up?
Well,
which Queen? Was it like Freddie Mercury? Was it James Corden? Was it Elizabeth? I mean, who was it?
Was
it Victoria?
That's a possibility. How's Anjali saying that she had, you know, master interview, that she has heaps to learn from Gamble because Gamble's been doing it for decades longer than she has, which is a little bit harsh considering, according to Wikipedia, Gamble is 49 and Anjali is 47.
Yeah, massive stabs from Anjali. But Gamble does return serve pretty darn well. It's hard enough building my own career, and I can't sing either.
I love her. She was great.
Just look, and I can't step past this. Danny has given us a great little bit of sizzle, friends. So this is from Danny on the Facebook chat. A bit of intel from the Cairns trip. A source told me, maybe a housewife, that one of the housewives had a massive meltdown because they weren't upgraded to business class for free. Now, already, we won't speculate live here on the show or on the podcast.
Oh, I just speculated on Facebook.
Okay, well, there's speculation out there, friends. Emma did pop in straight away and said, look, it was definitely Kylie or Angelie. Who did you say that it was, Nick?
Kylie.
100% Kylie.
100% Kylie.
Shameless. Shameless. Look, yeah. And it probably actually was. But enough of that, because we've got to go and have a look at some peanuts, Nick.
Oh, it was. This was probably one of the most moving scenes I've ever seen in.
It was delightful.
Any and all Housewives. It was beautiful. So
wow, that's
a
big call.
No, it was because it was. We don't often get to see something that intimate. I mean, we've seen intimate things that we don't necessarily want to see.
We will see intimate things later this season that we don't want to see.
That's right. And so we got to see the bebbies, who little Eva and Kiko, according to Jackie.
Well,
Eva and Kiko, I mean, slash Rocco. So maybe the babies are going to be Kiko and Rocco now that we've established in my head that they are boys.
Benji too.
What?
Benji too, I'm guessing. That could be another. Oh. They're just coming up with other names for it.
Yeah. Important thing is,
spoilers, friends, the baby's stuck.
The baby's stuck.
They made it all the way.
Jackie, there more emotion in this episode. Jackie talked about her her miscarriage, and it was heartbreaking. And she's, you know, she talks about the fact that the reason she's talking about it is to encourage other women that it's okay to talk about and that they should. And good on her. I think she did a really a lovely job. And not a job, that's a terrible thing to say, but it was a wonderful scene. And the two of them were just so happy. It was beautiful.
It was great to see the unofficial eighth housewife supporting his rock.
It's always good to see Ben in his eighth housewife role. I loved Jackie. Jackie wasn't going to let her vibes tell her what the genders were. She was going to wait. What did she say? The angel, or did I say this? The angels have to keep their traps shut until she finds out.
That was you. She wasn't going to ask the universe to tell her. Ben wasn't sure, but Jackie was, no, the universe is not going to tell me.
And Ben did the right thing and backed down toot sweet when Jackie said she wanted to find out down the track.
Finding out about the genders, people loving their surprises. No, man, I want to know what's going on in the hood. So officially, friends, if you want to get all gangster up in your Real Housewives, inside Jackie's tummy is where the hood is.
That little hood. That's the place.
It's a hell of a hood. That's for damn sure.
Bless them.
But enough, because we have to go shopping.
I love this shopping trip. Take a breath. I also would love to know, can anyone tell us, maybe Danny, where is this shop?
Yes, we would love to know where this shop is.
I would love to know this shop.
It looks pretty amazing, because they're shopping for a 70s Palm Beach vibe, which is what Angela has claimed her pool party is all about. So Cherry invited Janet and apparently Kylie to go looking for the perfect outfit. Now, Cherry does drop this. I'm hoping Janet and Kylie, can become good friends. Oh, Cherry. So innocent. I just can't even.
She I think, was going to finish up very disappointed.
Well, Kylie hates the idea of shopping and expensive retro things, but she loves spending time with Cherry, who, to be frank, does look amazing in pretty much anything. And Cherry, Janet's falling in love with her too.
Janet arrived in the outfit of the episode, I think.
Oh, what, that's Chanel, vintage Chanel tracksuit.
In which was completely a tracksuit. I wrote Janet wearing vintage Chanel tracksuit even before it was referred to as a tracksuit. Do you think it was velour? I feel like it was velour.
Oh, defs, please. There was at least two velours that died for that trackie.
And Kylie, who we know has had opinions about how other people dress, turned up in a bow tie.
Many opinions. And dressed in pink, the ugliest shade of, too.
It was all bad.
And
it
how's the hat? Bad. Can we talk about the hat for a second?
Was she wearing a hat?
This is how much I want to talk about the hat. Well, no, it was just this big, wide-brimmed pink hat.
It was.
I just went, nope.
See,
I said nope.
I've seen that hat worn beautifully to the races.
Yeah.
Where a hat
belongs.
This was
just to like some vintage. And this is admittedly, Kylie being the bad girl does get some great lines. Dude, it's a tracksuit.
It's totally
She's made the declaration. Emma does offer, just quickly in the chat, Emma offers this great comment, 70s Palm Beach, as the theme for Angeli's pool party, but holds it at an undecorated, sterile hotel pool. Well, the hotel that she lives in, that's right. It was not great, Emma. You're completely correct. But more on that later, because guess what they find in the shop, Nick? They find a tiara.
Look, there's always a place for a tiara.
Well, you can wear it anywhere, or you could wear it to a champagne masterclass.
So meow. Perfect. Oh, my God.
Meow. Kylie, like, this is the interesting thing.
The jabs.
So, look, everywhere. She hates it. She hates it. I mean,
when she said you could go full porn star and Janet returned serve so quick, it was a
so quick
hard volley. Darling, I'll leave that to you. It was applause. Well done.
I mean, it legit could have been Boogie Nights. But nonetheless, Danny's got a great comment on what Kylie was wearing. She's in her Carmen San Diego outfit. Very pink for Carmen, but nonetheless, that is the truth.
It was
And we've already got a couple of name suggestions. The great Christina, who's watching along with us, names she's Ivan. Still thinking Ivan or Ivan.
Ivan.
And Michael or Gabriel, great options.
I'd be right on board. Wait.
Danny Michael, has given us this Saint one.
Gabriel.
Truth. But Danny thinks that it was beautiful, Jackie and Ben, but Ivan Rocco, no, please. He's not there. He thinks it's not a thing.
Yeah. Oh, I can't.
I mean, that's the vibe, isn't it? Ivan Rocco. Rocco's probably as close as I'm liking. Eva, I'm not into.
Eva.
What would Eva be short for?
No, Eva. It's meant to be Eva for a girl. But so now it's not.
But they're boys.
I know. But when she was talking about them at the in the ultrasound, she referred to them as little Eva and Rocco, thinking like as if they were a boy and a girl.
They'd be a boy Eva and a girl, pigeon pair.
Yeah. So. Eva, so I think it's not Evo, it's Eva. But
we're flat out trying to keep up. That's the important thing. But look, we know, and you can be sure, the minute that we know about the names of the babies, they will be on the Unreal Housewives podcast Instagram and the Unreal Housewives podcast with Nick and Mark.
Oh, yes,
Facebook
they will
page.
So quickly. That might, in fact, Emma, be her dad's name. It does ring a bell, and I'm pretty sure it's pronounced Ivan.
Oh, mate, I'll take it either way they want to take it. But Ivan. Good work, Ivan. Well done, buddy. That's fine. Danny reckons one name is going to be Leo. I mean, this is the chat we should have had last week, Nick. Had Facebook not banned our live stream.
I know. I can't really go with Leo because that's my dog's name, Leo the Labrador.
I hear that.
So I can't be with Leo. But anyway, we could go on. But let's go to Simone's charitable work is largely directed towards a fantastic organization called Lux for Less. Fitted for Work, and she did a Lux for Less.
Sounds like Lux, where Kylie shops.
Lux for Less. Oh my God. Makeup workshop. This is an amazing organization. There are similar ones here in Queensland. I don't think we have Fitted for Work here. We have another one. But it's something that Simone is passionate about. And
good on her for getting out there and doing it. I will say, though, that the Ellen selfie at the end was a bit much. Simone. You know Ellen. First of all, she's playing to her audience,
and those women that, like, I think they would have loved that. So I was on board
those
with it.
Women,
I think they probably.
Nick McLachlan, those women.
You know, the women that in the workshop.
You can dig up as much as you want, but I'm going to move on. I'm being a smart ass. Don't worry about it. We need to move on to the Botanic Gardens because Jackie is meeting Janet at a very completely prepared space to give us some big news. What's the big news, Nick?
The big news, I'm pregnant and I'm having twins.
Congratulations. How does your husband feel about it, Nick?
Yeah, I'll let him know after we finish this. Look,
it's a miracle.
Yes, it is. I've just got rid of one. One's just moved out of home.
Two more coming.
I don't need more.
Well, I was going to say the back door, but that's not how you make babies.
Yeah, can we not?
Okay.
I did think it was quite funny that Jackie chose a bachelor single date bench to give the news to Janet.
It was the off season for the Batchy production team.
Exactly.
So, maybe they were warming up.
So they had it all sitting around. I thought this was some of the most genuine TV I've seen on. on a in fact, yes. This episode was full of it. Janet clearly was not expecting that news.
No.
I don't understand, because Jackie was clearly in her second trimester, but
clearly, like, I cannot Janet, tell you how clearly she was in her second trimester.
I don't think anyone is that good an actor or actress. Janet was, it was beautiful. Like, she was so deliriously happy for her, and I think it was completely genuine, and I loved it.
Do you want a little hint? Do you want to know how we know that it was genuine? It was a one-take shot, and it was because they had two or three cameras sort of spread around the situation, and when they edited it all together, that's how we got the finished shot. It wasn't like, cut, we need to reposition the camera, can you keep crying? Yeah. It was, they had cameras ready to go. They knew that this is a one-take wonder, and to get that genuine reaction, as look, Danny rightly points out, watching two friends in this segment was so real and so beautiful. That is absolutely how we feel, because I had here, these two are besties, and it is delightful. And Janet, for once, is lost for words. Everyone was so happy, we must do the dance of joy.
I love how Janet finished the segment by saying she's doing the baby shower. Duh.
Yep.
Of course, yep, like, she is.
Mate, and there will be a queue, and Janet is pushed away to the front.
I would like to go. Let's go to
a bit late, but I think yes.
Maybe they could have like a sip and see. Are you familiar with a sip and see?
Please inform me, because I have no idea.
A sip and see is actually, I think it originated in the southern states in the US, where you it happens after the baby's born. People are invited around to the home to sip on champagne and see the baby and bring gifts. Obviously, it's called
Sorry, just saying hello to our Instagram live friends there. Just, hey, how you doing?
Oh, I hate this. Like, how embarrassing. Anyway, sip and see. So I could go to that.
Mate, look, you just get pissed and see a baby. As long as someone else has to change it, I'm down with it.
I'd even change it. Then move on to the world's most awkward date dinner. Night.
Ugh. Kylie and Kiri go out for a date with the view that they want to kind of clear the air, ostensibly, and kind of, we can't step past this. Emma has just dropped an absolute clanger on the Facebook, Unreal Housewives Facebook page. Kylie looks a little like that woman in your screen pick, and yeah, similar vibes. So let's just bring back the picture of that woman. There's bits of it. The hair, there's elements of it.
She does.
And this is the official cast shot. This is them doing their best.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Black dresses.
You are
so
right.
So Emma, I mean, thanks for pointing that out. Now I won't be able to sleep. nonetheless.
A bit like poor Kiri. He probably didn't get any sleep that night.
If he doesn't sleep with a knife under his pillow, he is not protecting himself.
I've just written here, run, Kiri, get out, save yourself.
Mate, when, like, what?
It was all bad.
It was all bad, though I did offer, and I, this doesn't elevate Kiri to the unofficial ninth housewife. Let's not go there.
No.
But he does get his own master interview, and that's important, friends, because it means we will get more master interviews from Kiri.
Yeah, which means there's
you don't just turn up for two sentences and bugger off.
So we're going to watch this. This sounds terrible, and I've written here, why are they doing this on camera? We're going to watch their relationship implode.
Mate, even when they just turned up and they just start talking about it, we're hearing them recount what went on, and what we're doing is we're looking into a conversation between two people telling each other, really platonically, everything that they know of what has just gone on for no reason than other to catch up somebody that might be listening, i.e. us.
Us.
What the fuck?
This
is the killer line, though. It is hard trying to love someone when they don't love me back, says Kiri. She doesn't say no, that's not the case.
No, she doesn't. But what she does say is, I would not leave the business to save the relationship. Get out, Kiri. Get out.
Emma points out that Kiri is trying to get out, and if he doesn't get out after that, I don't know what is happening. Again, nothing is resolved at this dinner, and this dinner isn't going to solve it. That's for damn sure. There's still some work to do, and we've got to do it, says Kylie in the most duh statement ever. No shit, Sherlock.
And Danny's saying it was even weird that they turned up to date night separately, because apparently
Who's looking after Madison or Wall Street, or what's the name of their daughter?
No, Arlington. Arlington.
Yeah, that's what Arlie. That's what I said.
Okay, sure. Let's go with that. Can we go to the pool party now?
I feel like I'm having to push something through. The pool party, friends. Here we are at the, 17,000th floor of the Carlton, whatever the fuck it is.
I mean, we're Arlington Rose. Thanks, Danny. Look, that, you know, I just think it's obnoxious. But I mean, I thought the whole thing was obnoxious, but making out that the pool is hers. Now, obviously,
it's not her pool. Oh my God,
everybody gets to use. I just thought,
not even.
I don't want viewers to think. I feel like it's our responsibility to let viewers know that is a pool that's shared by the other 90 floors of whatever building it is. It's very nice, but she would have had to book it. And
yes. And I've got to say, the view from the pool looked over the least interesting part of Melbourne. Like it looked over what looked to be the northwestern suburbs.
Oh, I was just going to say.
It didn't even look over the city.
Looked out over south. I don't know where it is. I should have done more research.
Well, I didn't see any ocean, so if it looked south, it mustn't be there at all.
Yeah, no, you're right. There was no ocean.
Look at me working and understanding things. I will tell you that all of the ladies turn up in their best poolside at accoutrement. And while they have done some great ideas with their 1970s outfits, nobody really hits the mark. However, Simone's hair is 1970s perfection.
It was gorgeous.
So good.
It was gorgeous. It was completely inappropriate for a pool party. Completely inappropriate, but it was beautiful. I did love Cherry's headscarf. Not a lot of people can make that look work. And she pulled it off. It was
very 70s, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I did notice that when the speech started, which Angeli lent into, actually just doubling back, there was a note kind of that Kylie mentioned that Kiri was on babysitting duty. Friends, as a husband of two teens and a man who's been very happily married to a lady for nearly 20 years, when you look after your kids, it's not babysitting.
Not babysitting.
You are being the very bare minimum dad you can be.
It is parenting.
He was parenting Flemington, and we need to make sure that he does it more often. That's don't make me laugh at my own jokes. That's not helpful. But yeah. Janet does note that when Angeli starts the speech, as everyone can see, she's very, very happy to talk about herself. And I wrote, she's a classic narcissist, you know?
Look, I think that might be the thing. She talks about how many famous people she's interviewed.
Oh, the same famous people.
It's the same
famous people.
It's a bit of a yawn at this point. She should have just dropped them throughout the season, like one or two here and there.
Here's someone I spoke to and a nice little anecdote about it. Spoke to this list of people. As I said last time, most of whom are very problematic. She does get to hold court with some different groups of women. And in the first instance, she gets to hold court with Cherry and Jackie. And look, this is where we see the first real issue with poor Cherry trying to cut in on Angeli.
I know this is a bit depressing, but when did everything go wrong?
Right, so life was amazing. I was living my best life, happily married, finally a little baby after, 3.5 years.
Yeah.
I had
three... So was he born in...
He was born in Hong Kong.
Hong Kong.
Yeah. So we're both Hong Kong babies, right. Izzy and me. Izzy and me.
Oh, it is Izzy and me.
Yes, it is.
Too. Oh, shit. I'll never do that again.
Oh, my God, if you're going to come at me on grammar...
Oh, wow.
Make sure you're right.
Yeah, okay.
I had my three yachts. I had my four club memberships. Izzy had his own maid.
Why did you have three yachts? Is that necessary?
Define necessary.
Well, why do you need three? I thought one was a lot.
No.
I think sometimes people that have lived a more affluent lifestyle have that sort of keeping up with the Joneses and have got something to prove, just sort of thinking that they're better than you. Ugh.
Well, you've got to have one to pootle around on. You've got to.
Yes.
Pootle around on. Yes, you've got to have one to race and you've got to have one to go through the islands cruising with, eight berths in it.
Fuck, are you serious? I feel it's all about her boats and this and that and I don't really know much about her other than her job from 10 years ago.
I'm a yachtie and I love that.
So you get in there and you do the yacht
no,
thing?
No, I'm not that. Okay, no.
You're a yachtie.
I will buy them. And lie
and
on
a yachty.
Yeah, a yachty.
I mean, Jackie's face said everything in that clip and she was like, fuck you. that's all it was. And pootle around on?
Look, I love the word pootle. I don't think the word pootle gets used often enough.
Look, you can pootle around on this. we can probably let that go. That gives us a great insight into Angelina and who she thinks she is.
Yes, it does.
Meanwhile, Kylie is correcting the waiter. This is the comment from before about the champagne pouring technique. You have to respect the winemaker.
I've never heard that before, ever.
Not once at all, but I'll take it on the chin. Gamble, however, it, as is becoming the plan, friends, she's right. They were pouring it wrong.
Pouring it wrong.
Too slowly.
They were pouring it too slowly. Gamble's on fire this season.
She just was ready to get pissed, and I don't care about whatever else you're going to go on, but Jackie, Simone, and Janet are hanging out and having their own little chat, and Jackie can feel the angels are checking in that Simone is not doing well, and she needed some supporting friends around her because she got a little bit teary, Nick.
This was another clip that I thought was really genuine. I think that Simone wasn't prepared at all for the, you know, the concern that Jackie in particular and also Janet felt for her. And I feel like that's a really nice little friendship happening there. I'm here for it. I thought it was lovely. I felt so sad for Simone.
I want to encourage Simone that while being loved and affirmed and being in a relationship is super, super great, don't rush back to getting married because it's expensive and it doesn't guarantee anything, friends. I don't want to be, you know, the bearer of bad tidings. But look, Jackie is the best cheerleader ever. Janet is really in there. You've got us no matter what. And I think what we're seeing is an important first alliance between the OGs and a new housewife for me.
I agree. That's really important. And I am there for Simone. I mean, her fiancé is dead to me because I'm with her. Why would he not want to marry her? She's the whole package.
What a dead set jerk, I've got to say. There have been some great comments coming through, friends, on the Unreal Housewives podcast with Nick and Mock Facebook page. Danny did drop this cracker that when Kylie was at the pool party that Kiri and Flemington would have sat back and said, thank fuck the boss is out of the office. That's pretty fair. Emma did point out that at the party was the renter crowd, that we know nobody, they were just in the background, just doing whatever. And this was another great one from Danny where he brings up the fact that Angelie says she has a full club membership. What the fuck is a full club membership? He has one club membership and that's Costco.
That's a very important membership, just quietly.
What would the other three, if let's assume that one of Angelie's four is Costco, what's the other three, Nick?
There'll be a yacht club. It'll be something like the Southampton Yacht Club in the UK. It'll be like a Hong Kong. That's definitely a Hong Kong club membership there.
And the third fourth one, I think is probably Boris's sex dungeon.
I think you could be onto something.
Yeah, because the Prime Minister needs the attention. Look, this spun me out as a little bit amazing. Angelie arrives with tequila shots in very big glasses. And I said,
we are so simpatico. I've got here Angelie brings tequila shots in wildly inappropriate glasses.
I did note that the waiter was still pouring the champagne in the incorrect fashion with the label down.
And Gamble is necking the champagne.
She's going up, mate. Goodness, I want to know why she didn't bring a beer. She didn't bring a six pack.
It's a little disappointing.
Well, what is disappointing, actually, at this point is our beloved Cherry, and we do get to ask her about it, is that there's a little bit of a challenge thrown up by Cherry. First of all, there's conversations that Gamble and Simone have said that they wanted to have a swan race. Now, technically, ladies, it's one swan and one flamingo, but far be it for me to sort out your birds. Gamble is busy drinking out of the champagne bottle because he's not coming into the glass quick enough. But then Cherry suggests, look, I think it's unfair. Let's let Cherry actually tell us what she suggests.
And Angelie, I would love to hear you have a bit of a singing contest, maybe a note off.
I thought it would be a nice idea to get Angelie and Gamble to have a little sing off, a note off.
Yeah! I did not know that Angelie can sing. You've got to do it.
I'm pretty confident when it comes to singing. What the fuck?
Whitney, who's going?
Worst note ever.
And Gamble was like fully getting into it. it was quite funny to watch the two of them wailing all over the place. We're in the middle of a party and here's these two having some sort of sing-off.
I
Jackie laughing herself into early labor is gold.
It was the best because Jackie was like, she'd seriously lost it at these two having a go of it. And seeing Jackie laugh that hard just makes me laugh because I love seeing people really just having a great time laughing their guts out. I will also offer that it was a little bit of unkind from Simone talking about these two women wailing when she can't have been referring to Gamble because Gamble, as we know, is a broomstick. So I think it was pretty unfair that she suggested that the Japanese scientific ships should swim around Anjali a bit because that's not cool. Honestly, Simone, unfair. We know you listen. Thanks for listening, but that's not a great thing to say. Emma points out quite rightly, surprisingly, the glass didn't break.
Well, did you notice Anjali going as if to suggest that, you know, Gamble's note was going to make the glass shatter?
That was never going to happen. And Danny rightly points out that Jackie pissing herself was everything. It made this whole episode, like in a positive way. We're already stoked about Janet and Jackie, but this was a whole other level of happy days, how you doing? Jackie was everything, absolutely everything in that clip. Now, before the swan flamingo race happens, some balloons enter in two boxes. We know what it is, Nick.
We all know.
Pictures of the babies. It's the ultrasound. But this is her breaking the news to the ladies. And I thought, again, this was another really genuine moment where we get to see them all react. And they're all really happy. Gamble's crying. Janet's crying again.
Yeah, they're all crying.
It's delightful to see them be so happy. In fact, even better. Even better. First of all, Gamble thinks it's a bomb. But there's screams, there's tears. And Jackie shouts out, "It's twins. I'm having a baby." Now, I don't want to break it to you, Jackie, but before those boys are born, you're going to have to learn how to count better because if it's twins, that means there's more than one baby.
I'm having babies.
Right. Gamble stoked. This is the universe in a box. Now, I know that we give Gamble curry because she's not exactly the deepest puddle in Melbourne. However, that I thought was just a beautiful way of reflecting all of the hopes and dreams of Ben and Jackie and, of course, these ladies for them. In just a nice little short statement. It was beautiful.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. This whole episode was full of moments like that. And
I don't know if you noticed, but during this reveal, Jackie actually stepped off screen, took the Spanx off, and allowed the babies to sort of jut out the front.
Well, you know, when you've got a gut full of arms and legs, you need...
Oh, mate, boy, does she have a gut full of arms and legs and right? And the babies. It's pretty incredible. She will have by the end of it. She'll have had arms and everything's gone up there. Of course, to celebrate these things, it's not enough to just reveal it at the pool party. You've got baby to have moon. A baby moon. So they're going to baby moon.
This is we're a thing now.
You're all
going to baby moons. I wish baby moons had been a thing in my day.
Oh, I can't, considering how I've seen some of them play out. But the most amazing part of it was that Jackie said to all of the other housewives, "You're all going to be aunties.
I'm going to be aunties."
What an incredible collection of six women. There's fairy tales written about this sort of stuff. And guess what? The aunties are never the good ones. They're always like the evil aunties, the step, you know.
Who do you reckon would be the favourite auntie?
Oh, Rochi.
Jackie. Yeah.
Because Auntie Rochi would turn up and go, "Oh, it's so great to see you, Evo and Rocco. We love you so very much. Here's your first $10 million trust fund."
I feel like Gamble could get right into it because she hasn't had children of her own. And I think that they would
tag out, right? Auntie Rochi would probably be dead by the time the babies are 18, let's be fair. But when they turn 18, Auntie Gamby is taking them to get pissed and get their first tattoo.
Yes, she is. She is. I think she'll be fantastic as an auntie.
Oh.
Cookie Aunt Gam Gam.
Yeah, mate. Em's absolutely Aunt Gam Gam. That's going to be – in fact, if we don't start calling you that from now on, we are our job properly.
I think probably we will. But, look, it's time for the swan race.
One can ride a horse, but you can't ride a swan. Auntie Gam Gam gets on the flamingo, and all of a sudden she becomes a mermaid.
Amazing.
Just amazing. Swimming around. Just
swimming about with her Camilla floating about behind her.
Mate, that was a pretty great outfit. I did appreciate it. It was looking pretty good, but she didn't take anything off to get in the pool. I don't think it was all meant to get wet.
Oh, 100%. And props to Simone for getting that amazing hair into the pool, because none of the others were about to do that. And
no.
You know,
Gamble didn't care. She was getting her head underwater quickly.
Gamble didn't care. Yeah.
Sorry, only Gam.
I think they were both excellent sports.
Yeah, they had a great time with it.
For doing it. Everyone had a good time.
Mick McLachlan, that's enough. Because when you have to pack for cans or is it cans?
How funny was that?
Well, we're going to get there. But the first place we have to go, of course, is to Ben and Jackie's place, where suddenly, knock me down with a feather, Jackie's discovered that she can't fit into anything, least of all her swimwear. Help Ben. And Ben, God bless him, has no help other than you look pretty hot in that very small bit of swimwear that now is going to look even smaller.
And look, Ben is, Jackie's asked for his advice on the situation between Janet and Kyla, because she's worried that they're going to kick off. Ben is he's checked out already. He's like, I'm confused, by which he means I'm bored by that. I just want to think about you in your bikinis.
Do you want to know how simpatico we are? I finished that little segment by saying, Ben said, I'm confused already, which is him actually saying, no fucks given.
Oh, my God. Look, I'm all, oh, no, that's not working. But that's weird, considering we are states apart. Anyway, and then
Kylie's other house.
We go to Kylie's other house where she's packing with Kiri, which is weird to me.
I can only imagine he's helping her pack to make sure she leaves.
She drags poor Tango, who I think is a Boston Terrier, by the collar. She's a bit nervy about Janet. I think she should be a bit nervy about Janet.
Either way, was Randwick in this?
Hey?
Was Randwick at school or something?
I don't know where she was. Arlington, probably. I feel like she probably
Flemington?
Is.
Arlington, that's right.
Arlington. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, Kylie does say to Kiri that she's trying not to let Janet get under her skin, but it's very hard to do that. And I don't want to break it to you, Kylie. That's because after that many facelifts, there's a little zipper they install. And Janet can just unzip it and climb in.
We're in so much trouble if we get to interview Janet. You know that, don't you?
Kylie, it's going to be so amazing because she's either going to be nice as pie or just come at us.
Right. And then we see Cherry and her gorgeous boy, Marlo, who, you know, I think Marlo is the new, what was Gamble's stepson's name?
Wolfie Jr.
We saw him last week, Wolfie Jr. Luke. I feel like,
Marlo. Luke is Janet, isn't it?
No.
I don't know. I can't even keep up.
Anyway, I loved Marlo. He wants to go too.
Here's a classic mistake from Marlo. And Marlo, this is the problem, Cherry. We know you're listening. Great to have you on board. When Cherry asks Marlo,
what are you going to miss?
Yeah. Oh, no. So Marlo asks Cherry, and because Cherry's unpracticed with going away.
Yeah.
Just quickly, Christina agrees with me. I think that Wolfie's son is called Luke. So I think I'm right. And you dismissed me, Nick McLachlan.
Did you say?
Luke. I said Luke, first of all. You went, no, it's not that. And then I went, oh, maybe that's Janet's son. Anyway,
I was wrong. It is Luke. Go on.
Marlo asks Cherry, what is mum going to miss the most? And a practiced mother, when she goes away, Nick McLachlan, says what to her eldest son that asks that?
I'm going to miss you.
That's exactly what you say. And what did Cherry say?
I can't remember.
I'm going to miss everything. Wrong answer. Wrong answer.
That is the wrong answer. Yeah.
That infers that you're going to miss your husband more than your son who asked you the question.
Yeah. No, you always. Outrageous. Direct it to each child. I'm going to miss you the most.
He did make a spreadsheet so that poor husband could indeed, get everything done. She explains the spreadsheet in the interview, friends, which is coming up shortly.
She does. I think that's one of the reasons why I feel such a connection to Cherry, because of her spreadsheeting for her husband, because I've done the same.
So good on her. They obviously get on the plane. As Danny mentioned earlier in the show, somebody got upset that it didn't get upgraded to business class. But just like that, we're in tropical far north Queensland. We're in Cairns, or is it Cairns? And it's resort wear for everyone. Now, here we go. Ladies that are watching and maybe even gay men who understand ladies' fashion, I've said often that I don't understand how fashion works.
You have been clear about that, yeah.
Maybe we need to bring in a structural engineer, Nick, because the top that Kyla wears when she gets out of the car in Cairns, has so much underboob, it barely is keeping them in.
Yeah. Look, I think there's a point, and I don't like to be ageist, but there is a point at which you have to step back and go, no one wants to see my underboob.
No. I mean, the side boob, the big V,
yeah, sure. No. Knock yourself out. But underboob, unless you're a 20-year-old influencer, my eyes don't need that.
Janet doesn't care. She just wants to get pissed. That's the important thing.
Janet just wants to get pissed. Janet and Jackie get the best. Everyone. Yeah. And obviously, Janet and Jackie get the best rooms. Duh.
Yes. And Kylie acts like a bitch about it. Shut up. You're nobody's favorite at this point.
Didn't she?
I tell you what, organize your own trip, you lazy cow. That's what you need to do.
Can we just talk for a minute about Anjali speaking French because they're in Cannes?
Oh, look, too much. I wrote this down. Hey, did you know that Anjali speaks French? Merde. Which is French for shit for those playing at home. But we do have new outfits, new master interviews. This is what I mean by things overlapping. I don't think they meant to slide the start of the Cannes trip into this episode. I think they meant to keep it separate.
Oh, you reckon? Okay. Well,
that's
spotted.
What I'm thinking. But because what happens is Kylie has to explain Cannes Cannes to, Cannes to Anjali, but that's a thing. They're all having drinks, and Jackie announces that she wants the OG housewives to get to know the new housewives. So there are three sports cars turning up tomorrow. The OG housewives are going to drive each of them will drive one. While Jackie can fit behind the wheel of a sports car, the new ladies will be spread throughout the other sports cars. So everyone gets to know everybody else.
Everyone gets a newbie.
To cross permeate. And Jackie is praying to the angels that this could be a trip without drama. And she says it herself, one can only wish.
Lol.
Well, next time.
Next
it's
time.
It's Cannes continued. And there's cane toad racing for some reason. Like, I could have... In Townsville, sure, but Cairns, Cairns, I mean,
I mean, they've cane toad racing like 5Ks from where I live. And that's an annual thing.
Yes.
Not I didn't know Cairns. It was a thing in Cairns, Cairns.
No. Look, there's a blow up between Simone and Cherry at lunch. A
couple of blow ups. And that surprises me. Simone and Cherry, I can't even imagine it.
No, Anjali sniping from the sideline is probably what's going on. And then Kylie and Janet have a blow up at dinner and Jackie is unimpressed. So much.
That Kylie, so that much. Kylie v. Janet fight looks like they go hard at it.
Like
I feel like there could be a drink thrown.
Look, who knows what could happen? All we know is this, friends. It is time. That's our housewives for tonight, but we've got an extra special treat for you. Full extended interview with Cherry, insert last name here, is about to play. Now, if you are listening to the podcast or you're watching this live on Facebook or even elsewhere, great, but you're going to cop the whole interview now. If you're watching live on Instagram, you're going to cop the whole thing now. If you are watching this on Instagram TV, there's going to be a big edit. And I'm going to put the whole interview up for you somewhere else so that you get the chance to see the whole thing. That sounds fair, doesn't it, Nick?
All of that.
Right.
This is how that went.
All right. Well, basically, get ready, friends, because here comes our great chat with Cherry. Over to you, Malk. We are so full of ourselves right now, Nick, because the incredible Cherry Tibia Tiantonion. I'm sure I've stuffed that up.
Did he get that right?
No, not at all. It was terrible.
So how do I really say it? Cherry, it's Cherry, isn't it?
Tibia Tiantonion.
Oh, God. Look, that's opening up a hey, it's Saturday style kind of blonde character that I don't think we need
to go. Don't go down that road.
It's a tricky one.
So glad, Cherry, that you could join us. Thank you. We're stoked to have you as our very first guest on the Unreal Housewives podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, look, you are spectacular. And what an impact you have made in literally only 3 episodes. Goodness gracious. Shit stirrer, absolute objective affection of a husband, a power mum, and a woman who is not afraid to freeze her tits off. Well done. Thank you.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. Anytime. And I get more involved as the season continues.
Gosh. Look, keen to see that. That's going to be an amazing thing. I do want to ask just the very first question, Cherry. As you came into the Housewives, you, of course, have the advantage of being able to watch the past seasons and get to know particularly Jackie, Janet, and Gamble in their Housewives personas on screen. Yes. What was it like stepping into this incredible franchise?
Oh, I don't think you can be prepared for it, to be honest. It's and then also where we had the change of cast, that was all a bit confusing. Like you think you're getting your heads around Gina's and Lydia's and then they're not there, and then you've got Jackie and so but what I tried to do is, because I had obviously seen each of the seasons but not for a long time, and I thought, you know, I don't want to rewatch anything, because I just sort of wanted to go in and think, take them on face value as much as you can. I mean, obviously you can't do that entirely, and we were, you
some
know,
reputations precede them.
Exactly, right? The stirrers are definitely there.
Well, you're in a much safer position, I would think, when we talk about our OG Housewives, in that Gina and that woman didn't join the season, so you're safe. Got well off her in season four, let me tell you. That woman?
Why? Why that woman? Oh, what did she do to you, Steve?
Everything. She broke my heart. She had to go at our very precious Jackie. Like, please.
Okay.
No one comes at Jackie. No one.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right. We have favourites.
We have favourites. Yes.
Did you not tell from the start of the last episode where we talked for 10 minutes about the babies?
It is very exciting. It really
is. So exciting.
Okay. All right. So don't diss Jackie in the next 10 minutes.
Oh, no. You can diss her all you want. Just
go ahead. We will defend her.
Then
you
just diss me once I say goodbye.
I'm just teasing.
It's very awesome. Nick, now, I know you've done a lot of deep investigative journalism. Hard questions for Cherry.
Yes, I have. Now, Cherry, I don't expect you. Well, look, I do expect you to remember, but you and I actually met at the first launch. Look. Oh, hang on. There we are. Look. I mean, honestly,
gorgeous.
So you don't have that as your screensaver, really?
Oh no, I do on my laptop. On my laptop.
Okay.
Better. So so a lot of things changed after that day. A lot. In the 2 years since then. But I did do a bit of a deep dive on you and the others, because I have a bit of fun doing that. And one of the questions I wanted to ask you was that you mentioned in an interview that you like to do vision boards, which are awesome. I don't do one, but my daughter is bang up for them. Do you have
a vision
one?
Board about me creating a vision board?
Oh dear God.
You have vision. That's a start. That is a start. Nothing wrong with that.
Do you, Cherry, do you have one active at the moment, and what's on it, if you do?
I really need to get a new one happening, because everything that I've put on my vision board is kind of happening. So I need to create a new one to sort of progress forward. And I don't know why. I'm spending a lot of time at the moment fluffing around, not getting a lot done. So
Nick, this is an important follow-up question. Cherry, your current vision board include maybe helping your mother-in-law have an accident?
Have a what?
An accident.
An accident?
Just maybe not to, you know, like, I'm just, when we meet
you. She's actually coming over in about half an hour, so no.
Is she wearing the fox? Mother-in-law.
What do you want me to do to her?
Oh, look, anything that you need to get her out of your life, honestly. That woman is in charge of everything.
Cheryl and I, so we've got like an interesting dynamic, definitely. And you probably can't see that in the episode, the little snippet that you saw her, but we go head to head all the time.
Knock me over with a feather.
But there you go. You can see it, can you? Yeah, she's a strong personality, obviously, but great. She's fabulous. And I love the challenges that she brings to my life. She makes me a stronger woman. And I've got to say, she is always there for me. Sometimes we drive each other crazy, but she's dropping over sushi in half an hour. And not in her fox collar, let me tell you.
I mean, who's living the life now?
Yeah, yeah. Now, you also mentioned in another interview that Sonia Morgan is your favourite housewife on another.
I love her. Isn't Sonia Morgan?
Isn't she awesome? So other than New York, which is your favourite franchise? Well, have you watched any or all of them? And which is your favourite?
I think I've probably seen bits of all of them. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched anything for a while, to be honest. The Beverly Hills one kind of lost me with all the Erica stuff going on. You know, it was all kind of
It was a lot.
I don't mind a bit of New Jersey.
How great is New Jersey?
Love a bit of New Jersey, a bit of table flipping and
apparently here's some tea. Apparently we're about to find out that there's an engagement coming, in New Jersey.
Who's in the cast this season?
Maybe a dog, maybe a car.
What?
It's New Jersey. There's just lots of different inanimate objects.
Oh, no, it's so great. But,
Look, Cherry, I have to admit, everyone else knows, but I have not seen a frame of any of the Northern Hemisphere housewives. I have completely kept
missing
myself.
Out. He's missing out.
Southern Hemisphere. In fact, Australian, New Zealand housewives. I haven't even seen. Did they do?
The New Zealand one. I don't think I've seen that. Is that?
It was great.
It's so good.
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, I think there was only one season.
One season wonder. Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, it was. A bit like Sydney. R.I.P.
A massive shame. Let me tell you.
All right. So,
Melbourne's your favourite, though, Steve.
Oh, look, Sydney had a very special place, but Melbourne owns it for sure.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. No, Melbourne's my favourite.
But Jersey, whatever.
Oh, no, it's a good franchise.
You should watch some of the other ones. There's some good stuff out there. And then it's good to make a comparison.
Sure. And I think, because I tend to do that quite a lot in this podcast, and Steve just goes, you're on your own. I don't know what I'm doing. All right. Now, your tagline, did you have any input into it?
I heard what you said about my tagline. I heard all the it's the worst tagline.
Did I say it was the worst? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Can I tell you, when I listened to it the first time, I was like, I don't know if that's going to work. I don't know how well that's going to go down. But that's all right. It's fine. It's fine.
Oh, so you didn't write it.
No, well, so the way that it works is we have input about, you know, we suggest a tagline and then they come back to us with a few that they've kind of tweaked, and then we get to sort of choose which ones we like the best. And I probably didn't pick the best one.
Oh, well.
Can I make a suggestion for the next season?
Yes, tell me, what should it be? What should it be?
When it comes to scarves, I'm the foxiest collar of them all.
No, because that's not about me. Not doing that one.
Ah. As I said, knock the mother-in-law off, and it's yours.
Chance.
Come on.
No, not playing that game.
Okay, whatever. Something about Pryor, I don't know.
Now, this is important to me because I thought it was amazing. When you went vintage shopping for the pool party, you tried on a pink dress and it had oriental lilies on it, which were my wedding flower. Did you buy the dress? I loved that dress.
I actually can't remember it. Oh, I don't have the best memory, but I do remember going in the changing room and trying on a few different items. So you get to see the lily dress. No, I didn't buy anything.
Okay.
I don't think it was that the one. It didn't actually fit me. I don't think I could zip it up at the back. So
maybe we didn't see the back. It looked incredible.
It's fine from the front, not going up at the back.
If you only walked forward your entire life, it would be great.
Now, I love that you did a spreadsheet for Andre when you went to Cairns. I love that because I do like a running order when I have to leave my husband with the kids, and my kids are like 22 and 16. You still
do it.
Look, it's over 2 years since I went away, but yeah.
Okay.
Because you've got to know where everyone needs to be.
The oldest just moved out. Nick gave him a spreadsheet as a moving out present.
He moved out yesterday. It was a big day.
Wow. Is that emotional for you?
I didn't think it would be, but 100%. No, it was, because I've been hinting for the last 3 years.
It wasn't emotional for Nick. He's got a size 9 Louboutin print in his butt. From her kicking him out the door.
I did I have been hinting for a while, but when it actually happened, yeah, it. I mean, he's moved all of 10 minutes away with his girlfriend. And it's, yeah, but like his room is just, it's a whole thing empty that I didn't expect. I surprised myself at how it affected me. But
you've set up a show, haven't you, Nick?
Not yet, but that's still to come. But did Andre stick
He'll
to
be back with his washing, no doubt.
100%. No, I bought them a washing machine. That was my housewarming gift.
It'll still be in the box.
And I did. I taught him how to, like, I like ironing, so I've always done his ironing because I quite enjoy it. And so I had to give him a lesson. And at the end of the ironing lesson, like business shirts and stuff, at the end of the ironing lesson, he said, can I just, like, pay you to do it? So I think that's
a good the road we're
gonna, I think that's the road we're going to go down. But, I digress. Did Andre follow the spreadsheet? Did he get it right?
So I just basically, I mean, we're not talking about like a color-coded spreadsheet. I didn't go to that extent. It was basically just telling him what activities and, you know, the kids had, because he literally had no idea, just no idea.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, yes, on Monday we have bolognese and Tuesday at Shepherd's Pie. It wasn't that type of thing. It was just like, take kids to school,
pick them up.
On Tuesday, Marlo has swimming or whatever. And look, I think there was probably a lot of takeaway, but they were alive when I came back. So
right.
I mean, I have very quite a low benchmark. I just want them all still alive. When I used to have babysitters, that was my benchmark. Come home, are they still alive? We're good.
I think the key difference between your spreadsheets, though, Nick, and Cherry's spreadsheets is that on Cherry's spreadsheet would have said, on Thursday, Hugo comes over and stands in the corner and just looks pretty.
Poor Hugo. Honestly, I was just looking at him thinking he literally looks about 2 years older than my eldest son.
Oh, seriously?
I felt for that boy. Honestly, he was like a deer in the headlights. Like, what have I signed? What has my modelling agent got me into?
Yeah. The roughest edit of all time. It was just so delightful. God.
The poor kid. All right, my last question. Where is
good,
the first place?
The clock's ticking, McLachlan.
I know, I'm sorry. We got caught up in stuff. What's the first place you'll go to when you can travel overseas?
Good question.
I'm going to go back to England, of course.
Yes, of 100%. Course.
I'm going.
Do you have an accent?
I'm English.
It's okay. I'm being a smart ass.
All right. Okay. Yeah, mine's real.
No, excellent.
I am absolutely going back to see. I've got three sisters, two brothers, a big family, lots of cousins, and I have a new nephew and a new niece. And I literally cannot wait to get over there. So that's going to be the first stop. And I hear that people are starting to book flights.
Yeah. I think you can pretty much book anything now next year.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be booking to go away like in January, but we're planning a couple of trips next year and hoping for the best. But I think you're going to be good to go.
Stay optimistic.
The important thing is, and we have learned this from the Housewives franchise, Chira, I'm sure that this is your life, when you walk into the plane, turn left.
Yes, you only want to turn left.
Only ever go left, absolutely.
Because, as we have learned from Never Have I Ever, just the other week, that if you turn right, you know, sex in first class is the only way to fly, according to Simone.
Yes, it's all a bit messy.
Oh my God.
Well, I mean, it depends, but whatever fills your boots. I have one final question from my perspective, Cherry, if I can ask you this.
Please
At the
do.
End of tonight's episode, apart from your shit staring through the episode, which I thought was delightful, the sing-off, you have a lot to answer for. We get to Cairns.
Just butt in there, because I did listen to your podcast and there was something that you said in episode 2 that you didn't think it was my idea. When we were playing Never Have I Ever.
That was me,
actually, because I was listening to everything and it was all just these sexual, have I been with girls? Have I done this? Have I had threesomes? And it was driving me crazy. We weren't really getting anywhere. So I thought, I'm going to stir things up. So that was all me.
Well, good on you. Thank you for clearing that up, because we do speculate.
You
do. We speculate a lot about producer input. And
the entire podcast is speculation. That's just
to keep the lawyers happy. Back to your question, Steve.
Oh, no, no, I'm well diverted now because all that does, Cherry, is reinforce that I definitely want to party with you now. There is no question. Anybody who's going to bring that up.
Don't be fooled by the Princess Diana that you're seeing at the moment. She doesn't last long.
That's an unfortunate experience, but I'll take it.
You do look like Princess Diana, just a little bit. I can see that.
Ixnay on the French tunnel, eh? I didn't bring it up. So we get to Cairns. Everyone's having a great time. And the sizzle for next week is that clearly there's some controversy.
Oh, yeah.
The housewives want to have a bit of a stoush. How did you find seeing all of that sort of stuff play out in front of you?
Oh my gosh, it's crazy because it's the kind of behaviour that I usually try and avoid.
In
the thick of it, and it's coming from every direction, and then you just end up doing the same. So now I can't sort of think any less of them because I'm just as bad. But it is a bit confronting, especially when you're sort of used to going and sitting down and, you know, maybe having a nice meal and each taking it in turns to speak and tell stories and laugh. And it would just sort of, my experience of it is that we would go from zero to a million.
Like
that. Every time.
Well, I think based on that, we've got a new tagline for you for the, season, what are we up to? 5, 6, 7. So your third season in the show, Cherry, and that is, I'm Cherry.
That sounds terrifying.
Fucked a lot of you.
Yes, I love it. Yes. That is awesome.
I don't know if it'll get past the producers.
I did tell Kyla and Anjali that up until when the taglines were released, I told them that mine was life's a journey, not a competition, bitches. And they thought that was it the whole way.
Oh, I'm here for that 100%.
I know, I should have done that. God damn it. Anyway.
Yeah, that's all right. Look, you'll have plenty of opportunity, I'm sure, Cherry, because you are, in just 3 short episodes, have established yourself deeply in the Real Housewives of Melbourne folklore and absolutely in our hearts. We're so stoked that you could be a part of the show. And absolutely, we want to thank you for turning up for the Unreal Housewives podcast with Nick and Mel, because goodness gracious, it's been lovely to speak with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'll be listening.
Don't forget to put that photo on your phone, all right?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh. It's on there already.
Thank you so much.
We're shutting this down before this gets worse.
Bye. Right.
Lots of love.
Thanks, Cherry. Back to you, Malk. Well, thanks, Malk. And it was so great to see that wonderful chat that we had with Cherry. Nick, how delightful was that?
I enjoyed her so much. She was so lovely and generous and funny. She was funny.
Yeah, so funny. Look, it gives us such a great insight into the lives of the housewives behind the scenes. Thank you for those that have hung in to watch that whole interview. It was a whole bunch of fun. We're so glad that everything worked. All of the tech worked. It allowed the pre-recorded, could you tell? The pre-recorded interview allowed us to double-check
that
the tech was working. Live stream on Facebook, live stream on Instagram. Nick, it all worked. So if people want to find us in future, how can they find us and where?
Well, they can find us wherever they're currently watching us or listening to us. But the alternatives would be our Instagram, the Unreal Housewives podcast.
That is us. We'll
look at that. Facebook, the Unreal Housewives podcast. Also.
There we go.
Branding, and on our individual Twitters, Steve Malk, Nick McLaughlin.
Yes.
Have I forgotten anything?
No, I think that's pretty much it. After that, we're making it up.
I mean, you could go to my TikTok, but I've only ever made 2, so.
Yeah, and they're embarrassing. We would love it if you would like us. If you've got a podcast catching machine, subscribe to the podcast. Listen to us again. Listen to that great chat with Cherry, if nothing else, because that was heaps of fun. Give us 5 stars. Leave us a great review because we'd love to read it out. We are vain and vacuous, and we appreciate your love. That's in no small
vain and vacuous. That would be a really good name for another podcast.
Mate, copyright us. All we want is producer credits. We're happy to help make that happen, but, you know, that's a spin-off podcast from the Unreal Housewives podcast with Nick and Malk. Nick, you come to that time of the episode, the podcast, the live stream. Who is our MVP for today's ep?
Oh, I'm giving it to Gamble again.
Mate, weird auntie Gam Gam.
Yeah, Auntie Gam Gam. She gave it all to us tonight. That, if nothing else, that note off was...
she was behind it.
Yeah.
I'm going to disagree with you. Normally I do go very promptly with you on your MVP. I reckon that this week's MVP, and look, Cherry was a very close second because if no other reason she talked to us, that's helpful. But I reckon this week it was Janet. Just her absolute overwhelming response of care and love
For Jackie, I see that.
In that very precious moment. That's enough. That just shot her straight to the top of the charts, overtaking the actual housewife we talked to. Cherry, hello, it's great that you've watched.
We love you.
So who is our bad girl for the episode? I think this is pretty easy.
Look, I don't know. Darlings.
Darling.
Hello, my darlings. I'm going to say it's Anjali.
Yes, four clubs for me. It is absolutely. Sorry, Anjali, you've got to lift your game. It's just all a little bit.
I want you to poodle on back to your apartment, rethink. Poodle? Rethink the boastiness.
So much poodling.
And so much poodling and boasting. That was an easy
one. Well, I'm not going to disagree. Anjali, come on. You know what I need to do. Nick McLachlan, that is the end of the episode. We would like to thank very much Cherry Di Pietro Antonio. Is apparently how I'm supposed to say it, with the hand and everything.
I think you got it.
I think so.
Because there's about 17 syllables, and I counted all of them.
And at least three hate crimes in the way you say it properly if you're white and not from an Italian accent sort of background. But we're so glad that Cherry could join us. It's marvellous to have her here. And big sizzle, real actual sizzle for next week, friends. Another housewife joins the fray. We can't possibly tell you who, but there's another housewife joining us here on the Unreal Housewives podcast with Nick and Malk, because you love it. Nay, we demanded it. That's what the kind of thing, that's what we do for our watchers and listeners.
Well, look, we have that sort of influence, so.
I mean, that's a word for it, but we'll go with that. thank you so much. I've been Steve Malk.
And I am still Nick McLachlan.
Always and forever. Friends, thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you catch us next week on the Unreal Housewives podcast with Nick and Malk.
Later.